Part 3.
there would be a part 3. We're covering November and December. And honestly, for the most part, it's going to be November.
All of the November games are like November 16th to the 17th. They're all coming out on the same goddamn day. Either the 11th, the 15th, the 16th, or the 17th. And that's it.
I think I said the same day and then you named 4 days. Even though it's pretty much
all the same. It's still the same week.
Yeah. But yeah, December's really pretty barren as it is. It's mostly just November releases, as Dan, you pointed out, all within a span of like 2 weeks.
Because they all want to hit that magic, easy to remember number.
Well, that and they all kind of want to be out before Black Friday. I mean, other than that, you don't really have much of a sales window, I guess, because people don't. I don't want to say people don't look for new stuff around December and stuff, but it's more or less what you have in stock and not the ideal time to launch a game. I don't know a game in December that said, well, that's not true. Smash Brothers Melee was released in December and that went on to sell well. But
that also said Smash Brothers on it, so there's that.
Yeah, as I have to say, I mean, we do have a huge title coming out this December, but we'll get to that in a second. And we'll kick it off where we ended, well, we recorded this last week, but it wasn't on last week's podcast, with Uncharted 3. What is this one called?
Drake's Deception.
Oh, okay. I thought the first one was called Drake's Deception.
No, it was Among
Drake's Fortune.
Yeah.
Drake's, here we go. Okay. And yes, as I mentioned before, I am absolutely in love with the Uncharted franchise. It is my favorite new franchise of this generation. It is a fun action and adventure thrill ride. Granted, the game has some problems, but that's neither here nor there. I played the beta earlier this year. It was a fantastic experience. It's one of my favorite multiplayer online experiences of this generation, which is kind of odd because I honestly never expected it to work in that game.
Yeah, I don't think anybody really did.
Because, I mean, I guess the thing with Uncharted is because, I mean, as much as it is about the shooting is probably one of the weaker aspects of the game.
It's still quite strong at the same time.
It is, but what I meant more was, like, especially in some of the enemies and some of the set pieces, you have enemies who are real wood sponges.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, that does kind of carry over to multiplayer, but they've kind of fixed it. But I was more talking about the fact that part of the Uncharted charm is like just traversing the set pieces, and you don't really have many online games with verticality. So to bring that to the forefront, I really thought was going to make for terrible experiences, but it really does make for one of the more unique online experiences this generation.
I do think that out of all the games that surprised me with its verticality, I think Crysis 2 is actually up there in terms of like the multiplayer suite because, I mean, they really, I think so. I mean, the way that they did the whole, you know, the super jump, grab onto ledges, like, it's not to, you know, the extent that, you know, Assassin's Creed is or the way that, you know, Uncharted is. But I do think that for a first-person shooter that's, like, pretty quick, they did a really good job of making it.
I thought it was horrible.
Multi-tiered. Really? I like the multiplayer.
The thing about Call of Duty I don't like is it's a multiplayer. It's basically first to see wins, right? And Crysis 2 emphasizes that with the verticality because I'm too busy jumping up and catching this ledge to notice that guy behind me who's shooting at me. Yes, I can put armor on, but it doesn't have that much of an effect.
Right.
And otherwise, it was just a clone of Call of Duty. Just you can go invisible every now and then, and
I don't know.
Somehow still see you anyway.
I think the core mechanics are pretty similar.
I am going to have to cut you two off right now, though, because Crysis 2 is already out, and it has nothing to do with the fall.
Oh, but Crysis 1 is coming out
I was going to make a note of that, but somebody ruined my transition.
Sorry. It was a segue. I was planning it to be a segue anyway.
Yeah, I was going to do the same exact thing, but go on.
Yeah, Crysis 1 looks like it's going to be coming out to two next-gen consoles, PS3 and Xbox 360.
One, can we stop calling them next-gen consoles? One's been out for 6 years, the other one has been
It's weird to say, it's still, I don't know what it is about saying this generation, it's just strange to me. I don't know, it feels alien, I guess because I've been calling it next-gen since 2004, 2005.
I get that, but this next-gen no longer counts as next-gen.
I know.
Next-gen hasn't been counted as next-gen for 5 years.
or six, if you want.
Crysis 1, despite all the, millions of times that Crysis has reminded us that it can only be done on PC, and can't come out of console, and consoles can't cope, it's coming out on consoles anyway, is supposed, quote-unquote, remastered in an engine that looks worse than the original Crysis 1 engine. So don't ask me how that works.
Well, yeah, because, one, not only is it coming out to the HD consoles, but it's also a arcade title, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, it's gonna be on Games on Demand. Well, it's gonna be downloadable, and it's gonna be $25 or something like that.
It's
gonna be terrible. Yeah. But if you've already had a PC that can handle it, there's no reason to revisit that, in my opinion.
Yeah, I've heard it's not a great game. It's just
I don't think it's a very good game either.
No, it's not.
I think it's extremely overrated. The only thing that I had fun with in Crysis 1 was, picking up turtles and throwing them into the ocean. That was for go home! That was the only thing I actually enjoyed about that game. But other than that, moving on.
I'm one more. I'm also kind of curious how big of a file this is going to be.
Oh, well, that's a good point, actually.
I don't know, it could be 7 gigs to 10 gigs.
Which is a huge, huge file. But, yeah, moving on, we have so many games to talk about. Rabbids that I've been kicking, which is the first entry in the Rayman Raven. I guess it's Rayman.
Rabbids Minigames Connect.
Yes. I think that's all Daniel wants
to
say about
that. Video that I've seen, it looks fucking awful. It didn't work.
No, and that's the problem with an out-of-connect game.
They don't work well.
I know people have the same issues with the Wii, but have been...
There's a greater margin for error in Kinect, because if you're not doing the exact thing that it wants you to do...
I've played Rayman, and I've actually enjoyed the Rayman series. It's one of the...
Well, Rayman or Rabbids, because they're two...
The first one was called Rayman. I've played the first one, and that was one of the big games that kind of got me put into Wii. With at least the one I had, partially because you did some really awkward motions in that game. There's pretty much one game which has you jerking off and spraying orange juice around.
Right. No, come
on. And when Ubisoft wanted to release a proper game like that, everybody shut it down.
Oh, what was that called? I know exactly what you're talking about. But yeah, come on. I just want to make jerk off motions all day. That's why I've been waiting to get a game.
PC anyway, if you're that desperate, you can hook up your Wii remote to your PC via a Bluetooth adapter and
oh, man.
Yes, moving on. I guess Chad has something to add.
I don't think there's anything I can add to that.
Yeah. So, Modern Warfare 3, which I think we can all go on record saying is going to be the best-selling game.
It's going to be the best-selling game of this year. It's going to be the game with the least additions, the least changes, The worst fan base.
I don't necessarily think the fan base is any worse than any other fan base.
It's funny you mention that because I'm in the process of writing an article about that, and I'll let you guys know when it goes live. But it's definitely I'm exploring basically the two camps that people seem to fall firmly into. You're either in the Battlefield is so much better than Call of Duty. Oh my God. Or the Call of Duty is still amazing. Oh my God, why is it selling so great? And I'm just trying to
why can't we buy both? Everyone seems to be like, oh, you can only buy one of them. Buy both.
Right.
Or in my case, I'll fucking buy none of them because they're both.
Yeah, that's my
terrible.
Camp. It's like, I realize that it's kind of hard to get away from them because they are kind of seen as the two big games that have fallen.
Right.
And it makes, like I said, it makes a great story. You want to talk about Modern Warfare versus Battlefield because it's kind of like,
and they're two completely different games.
And they want you to be talking about. They want you to be talking about the battle because it's free publicity for both of them.
Well, yeah, but here's the thing, though, is EA isn't helping Activision. Well, they actually are helping Activision because have you noticed that every time EA talks about Battlefield, they're talking about Call of Duty as well. Yeah. It's almost as if they're advertising Call of Duty. And, like, EA needs to shut up because one minute they're going, oh, yeah, Battlefield will be so much bigger than Call of Duty. And the next minute they go, oh, no, we can't beat Call of Duty. And the next minute they're saying what they said before. And, oh, yeah, it's going to be so much bigger. It's going to be so much better. And you can't, Call of Duty can never do what Battlefield does. And then they go, and, why? If you're going to talk about Call of Duty against what your franchise is, at least have a united front instead of saying one thing and then something to contradict it and then saying something to contradict that.
Well, I think it's really interesting is that it's almost like
me.
It's contradictory in the fact that it's almost like internal. Like, you look at DICE. DICE and EA are two completely separate entities, and I think that it's really important to distinguish between the two of them because this every time EA goes on record saying something like, you know, there was one comment where they actually personally called out an Activision executive, and I was like, that's much, that's just a little much. And then DICE goes on record saying, like, oh yeah, we played Modern Warfare 3, you know, Robert Bowling likes our game, we like their game, they're doing their thing, we're doing our thing, big
yeah,
deal.
And,
you know?
And here's another thing, I may have said this already, but it seems to me that when Activision's approach to advertising Call of Duty, they're advertising the game, whereas EA's approach to advertising Battlefield also seems to be like they're advertising the engine. I mean, I know the engine's really cool and it's got all this technology, but an engine is nothing if you don't have a really good game on top of it, and Crysis proved that.
I agree, but I think that...
Yeah, but on the same hand, you have something like Gears of War, which...
And, you know, Gears of War has Unreal, and it's, you know, Unreal's like the engine that pretty much people go to, and, you know, it's a really good game.
That's what they're hoping to do, that's what Earl's saying.
That is that you kind of want, if you have this engine that you want this big game, and you have to make sure Battlefield is seen as a big game. And, you know, one of the ways to do that is to differentiate the fact that it does have this fancy new engine that's going to be able to power next-gen games going forward.
But the problem is they talk up, they hype up Frostbite and everything, but it's not used in anything but Battlefield. Mirror's Edge, which came out after, didn't it come out after Bad Company 1, didn't use Frostbite, it used Unreal. So, you know, it's alright hyping an engine, but if you're not gonna use it either, I mean, Valve will tell you that you'll get the game is running Source because they're consistent. All of their games run Source. Dota 2 runs Source, even though you, looking at it, some people wouldn't believe it, you know?
But I just think that this is gonna be like that game, and I think they just kind of want to market the engine as well as, cause isn't the Frostbite 3 engine the new one built just for Battlefield?
Frostbite 2 is built just for Battlefield 3, but if you've built it just for one game, Epic didn't build their engine for just one game, and nor do Valve, and...
No, I get that, but I'm saying that, like, without Gears of War, I mean, not to say that the Unreal Engine wouldn't have taken off, but I think Gears of War was kind of the thing that cemented it as, look, this is the engine you want to use because you get this big game that sells well. But, you know, I this is an interesting conversation, but I do want to cut it short because, one, it really has nothing to do with Modern Warfare at this point. And, two, we have a lot of games.
I think Activision's, okay, to relate it back to Modern Warfare 3, I think Activision's going the right way in the advertising. It's just the same game hasn't changed at all since its last iteration.
Well, I'm gonna say this, and I hate defending Call of Duty, but as an outsider, it looks like nothing changes. But I'm assuming that people who do play the Call of Duty,
they've changed the Call of Duty, they've changed the kill streaks, and that is all.
Well, I'm assuming they're gonna say that maybe the guns are, you know, weighted heavier, maybe the characters. I'm sure there are things that we don't notice, and it's always kind of hard saying that again from the outside in.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, but the fact that it's nothing substantial enough for us to have noticed kind of speaks for itself.
I get that, but you don't always need to grand sweeping changes, I think.
I can agree with that. And I'll use an example. Ultimate Marvel vs. Capcom 3 is a prime example.
It's a rematch. You could call it a rematch as a prime example of that.
I would just have to say that was a great transition.
It is, but Wanyo, listen, I know that, like, to you, for someone who's never played Marvel vs. Capcom 3, or I'm guessing you're not much of a fighter fan, I'm guessing, right?
No, but it's easy to see when they're just rehashing games, and fucking Capcom are doing that. They're doing it with Dead Rising 2. It's not even a fighting game, and they're doing it.
But the thing is, with Ultimate Marvel vs. Capcom 3, if you were someone who has been playing Marvel for, like, as long as I have, which is, like, close to 9 months at this point, the little things that people are obviously not going to see, like, okay, on Spider-Man's, you know, like, his low heavy, he has, like, X amount of frames of recovery, but that's been changed now. That can, like...
You could patch that!
That's exactly my problem with it is, like, I play the hell out of Marvel 3 as well, and it's, like, a lot of the stuff that they're changing... I don't know, I feel kind of ripped off that they're releasing this game nine months after I bought the first one.
But people, the thing that drives me nuts about this is people did not complain about this nearly as much when Super Street Fighter 4 dropped, which is basically doing the exact same thing.
But it's gotten to a point where they've released another iteration of Street Fighter, two iterations of Street Fighter 4 since then, one of them being on the 3DS, right?
But the arcade edition you don't actually need to own.
Capcom dropped Mega Man completely, and they've decided, you know what, we're just going to churn out another fighting game 6 months after we've released it.
I think the major two differences between Street Fighter and Marvel is timing, is that Street Fighter came out a year after the original, which is still not in the same calendar year as the...
And the worst thing is Capcom then acts as if they're doing us a favor by only charging $40 for it.
I agree that I can see both sides of this thing. I totally understand. But the reason I defend it so much is there's a few things that I'm really excited about. And I mean, there's 12 new characters. And if I know that this isn't necessarily the best economic way of viewing it, but if you were to view each, you know, two-pack of characters as being, or each character, if they were to use the same pricing structure for each downloadable character as they did in Marvel vs. Capcom 3 Vanilla, then it would be roughly more money to buy every individual character. That's assuming that you would buy every individual character to get the game, in addition to having, like, all these new features. You're actually paying less to buy it all in one package. So it's like... I do see how people be like, you know, fuck this, like, this is a cash grab, whatever, you know, I can't stand this, I can't believe people are going to pay money for this, but on the other hand, I'm like, well, it's not something that I'm ultra happy about, but the fact that it's, you know, more Marvel vs. Capcom 3, and it's something that I'm, you know, personally excited about because, you know, Ghost Rider's in the game, or, you know, little shit like that, it's more Marvel, and honestly, like, I'm at that point where I don't really... mind that. You know, I definitely see Capcom moving back towards that trend that it had in the beginning where it actually introduced too many fighting games into the market and just, like, totally knocked itself out. And I'm hoping that they don't do that again. So I'm hoping to God that this is the last Ultimate, and I've seen Seth Killian actually go on record, and he seems to be pretty sure that this is the last one and they're just going to supplement it with DLC. And if that's the case, fine. If they do the exact same thing they did with Street Fighter,
Ultimate has day one DLC already, you know that.
Right, but the thing is, they have the,
So not only are they rehashing their game, but they're also doing, there's also day one DLC.
Like, is it the costumes that you're talking about?
I don't know, but, you know, it's still day one DLC as far as I'm
concerned.
The
costumes are pre-order bonuses, so yes, if that's what you're talking about, they're day one DLC. And you can buy the ones that you don't pre-order from. Much like
bollocks.
Other games like Gears of War 3.
The whole thing is bollocks.
Okay, I would just say this.
Yeah, but everyone's doing that, too. The whole pre-order and get something, and if you didn't get it when you pre-ordered. Like, that's not exclusive to Marvel at all.
I agree. It's not,
but, you know, it's the summation of this whole generation has just been companies doing everything they can to screw people out of money. And people pay... They can't get enough of it.
And I think that's why the most important thing, though... is that if the consumer is still content with this, like, we may not like it, but personally speaking, how many of us were going to buy Ultimate? I mean, I wasn't going to buy it. I don't think Daniel was going to buy it. And Adrian's going to buy it, and he's okay with it.
I'm going to buy it, and I hate myself for the fact that I'm going to buy it, but I'm not gonna kid myself and say I won't, cause I definitely.
Yeah, and I think that's the point, is that, like, I get it, that people, you know, it's the same thing with Call of Duty coming out every year, but at the end of the day, it's that there are people out there who buy it year after year, and if they're happy with it, I'm not gonna say that they shouldn't make these games anymore because I'm against the practice. It's, you know, it's like, you know, I don't, it's you don't take food out of somebody else's mouth because you're hungry.
Oh, that's bad.
Oh, you're not supposed to do that? Oh, man.
Never told me.
No wonder my family hates me. Ah, oh, I get it. Okay.
But yes, I think, you know, it's kind of like that. It's like, I don't like the practice. I really think Ultimate Marvel vs. Capcom 3 is a stupid idea. But if the fan base is there and they want it, that's more power to them, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, they always say, at the end of the day, you speak with your wallet. If nobody buys
I agree.
Capcom knows not to do it anymore. It's the same thing. As much as I hate Day 1 DLC, and DLC in general, there's a reason companies continue to do it, is because people continue to support it. But yeah, we got a lot of games to continue on. Skyrim.
Oh, okay. I think we can all universally agree on this game being awesome, right?
Can
we
all agree on that? Oh, it would be nice if I could.
It also means boring, but.
It'd be nice if I could actually buy the fucking game on Steam in this country, but, you know, there are people out there that don't want that to happen. It's a Steamworks game, and I can't buy it on Steam.
We talked about this last time. You get all the stuff that we don't. You guys get Sky Sports. We have to stick with ESPN.
Yeah, but I don't watch TV, so I get none of
that. I'm just kidding.
You know? So we have basically the equivalent of GameStop in this country, right? They make deals with Bethesda and THQ specifically to not sell their games on Steam, even though they are Steamworks titles.
So wait,
until
can
a certain period has passed. I can buy it at retail, but what if I don't want to? You know,
but if you buy it at retail, you can use it on Steam, right? Like, you still get all the Steam features? Okay.
But I like having choice. If I don't want a box, I shouldn't have to go out and buy a fucking box from a stupid company.
That just sounds really petulant to me, though.
Yeah, but if I don't support the company's business practices, which
I want what I want the way I want it, god damn it.
You know, I just think it's insane that I cannot buy a Steamworks game on Steam.
It is a bit strange, but people gotta make money, and that's kinda how I'm starting to, I mean, the more that I hear Earl's perspective on this, it's like.
This is another one of those things where they don't have any figures, and they can't get any figures to say, oh, this is actually working. So.
That does remind me, and EA came out with this recently, where, I guess it's been like 18 months since they started this, project, $10 deal, and I think in total they've made like $10 or $15 million.
Oh, the online pass?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not very
which
much.
It's like a drop in the bucket, but again, it's $10 or $15 million that they weren't getting before. So, I know somebody's gonna hate me for using it. It's free money. And somebody's gonna say it's not free money because they have to pay for the server costs and stuff like that. But, it's a practice that most game companies have been doing for the past decade or so. So, to say that it's now a financial burden, especially for somebody like EA, I think is a bit far stretch, but yeah, we have, you know, there's so much we can talk about on this subject, but we'll save it for another day because we still have, I guess, the games to go through. I want to say this is out this year, Aliens Colony Marines, but I'm almost certain that this is a next year title.
Well, we don't know because Gearbox doesn't say anything about it. Oh, here's a trailer, nothing else.
didn't they
announce it in like 2006 and it took them 5 years to get a trailer out?
And I think
my friend, he keeps telling me
indicative of how confident they are in that game too.
My friend keeps telling me how awesome this game is going to be. I'm like, how do you know? Because it took him 5 years to get a trailer out, and you know, Gearbox's last game was maybe it was them just finishing off something that somebody else did, but it wasn't terribly well made even then. And
I don't really begrudge them for the whole Duke Nukem thing at all.
They have 10 different things that they're doing. And
yeah, that's the thing, though. They always seem overstretched, because they're doing this. They're doing Borderlands 2.
Borderlands 2, and they've got another project, apparently.
I wouldn't be surprised if they're doing a Duke Nukem sequel at this point. They do Brothers in Arms as well, right?
Yeah, they've got another Brothers in Arms game.
They have two of them, don't they?
No,
they've got the crazy one at E3 that reminded me of TF2.
Yeah, and I thought
four.
And I thought somebody said they were doing a serious Brothers in Arms sequel as well.
Oh, I don't know. Well,
that'd be cool.
But yeah. So, we'll just skip over it because
Vaporware. Aliens, Colonial Marines, Vaporware.
Now, this is a game I would just I think sometimes people forget that fandom works both ways, and people just kind of see the rap, the ravenous people who are just kind of like, yeah, yeah, we want this. But fandom also works that you tend to be the most overly critical of a franchise you love. And I wanted to say this because the next game up is Super Mario 3D Land.
It's a bit of a jump, isn't it? Because it wasn't the last Super Mario Land on the Game Boy.
Yeah, but I mean, it's technically speaking the handheld franchise, so.
Isn't there only one game so far?
Well, no, there's three Super
Mario.
Oh,
right, okay.
So yeah. But I will just say this, is that anybody who knows me, and I think Jason made me reference to this last week, because my avatar is Bat Mario. I love the Super Mario franchise. As I said on Nerds on the Rock, if you listen to that, Super Mario Bros. 3 is my favorite game of all time. And that said, it does make me a lot more critical of this game, and right now, this game looks like it needs work.
Is it supposed to come out this year?
Yeah, it's coming out in November. And it looked like it was a bit rough when they showed it at E3. I don't know, I don't get some of the decisions Nintendo's making. It's a 2D, 3D mashup, where it's like on a 3D plane, but it's like a 3D world in a 2D plane, and you control it using the, circle pad as a direction, like a D-pad of sorts. So yeah. It's not 3D control. You work on a directional system, and there's a run button instead of using the analog controls. So, I have faith in this game because it's a Super Mario game and Nintendo doesn't seem to rush those things out. And it's also made by the Galaxy team, who, as it stands right now, are my favorite team in gaming. But yeah, it looks really rough, and I hope that, you know, next week with the 3DS event that they change my mind on this, because right now, I'm not as excited for this game as I should be. So yes, anybody else's thoughts on Super Mario 3D Land?
It looks. I'd probably pick it up actually when I get a 3DS because I'm gonna get one at some point. I know it. Because it's not a straight up remake, really. Because they have.
It's not a remake at all.
No, well, exactly. It's just got the name. It's a remake in name alone. So yeah, I'll pick it up.
Not a remake then.
So yeah, I'll get it. No problem.
It's not even a remake in name alone, it's just a very bad name.
Yeah.
3D Land.
Yeah, because technically speaking, you would think that it would be Super Mario Land 3D, but then people would think that it's the third one when it's actually the fourth game. But Super Mario 3D Land sounds even worse, and I assume they didn't want to go with Super Mario Land 4.
Because, you know, you have to put 3D in the title, because it's on the 3DS where you get games in 3D.
But I was going to say, and I have to get to that with the next big... Nintendo title for the 3DS. It doesn't have 3D, and I really wish they had done that for that game, because I think numbering it at this point is just ridiculous. Super Mario 3D Land has to be one of Nintendo's best releases, or else the 3DS is really dead in the water. We really don't have to mention Jurassic Park the game that much. It's Jurassic Park the game.
Less said, the better about that one.
Need for Speed the Run. I'm kind of curious about this one because I honestly don't know what to expect after the E3 reveal. It's supposed to be a racing game, but they spent like 75% of that demo on foot.
I think they said that there was a very small portion of the game where you're actually on foot, and it kind of undermines the sort of the run name. I don't know. I don't see the point in getting out. I think it's the same thing as getting out your car and driver. It's not. Not something you do, because it's about racing and not running.
I think the
especially considering the running bit is all QuickTime events, all of it.
Yeah, I think it's kind of like the notion that a lot of people think certain genres just don't sell as well as standalones.
Yeah.
So it's like, racing games on their own don't sell that well. We'll just spice it up with some action, but it becomes like it's a really poor action game as well. So, you know, focus on one thing, make it great, because I mean, Need for Speed, what was that? Hot Pursuit?
Yeah.
I actually really liked Hot Pursuit, to be honest.
Yeah, it was an awesome
game.
Yeah,
it was good.
I liked it, and I'm not a fan of racing games myself, so.
Yeah. I mean, it was made by the people who made Burnout Paradise.
Which is exactly why it was good. Burnout was awesome.
So yeah, I don't really know what to expect from this game going forward. I'm kind of curious, but we'll see. Lego Harry Potter 5 and 7.
It's a Lego game. Wait.
It's gonna be fun. You're gonna collect things.
I don't know if you're being snarky or serious.
Who, me?
No, Chad.
Oh.
No, this has been my most hotly anticipated game since, like, 1983.
Okay, now he's snarky.
I'm not getting any sarcasm at all here. This is weird.
Well, I have to say, there are people who love the Echoes game. They are actually kind of fun games.
They're not crap.
They're good games.
They just tend to be a bit samey, that's all.
It's just a, you know, it's the same game with different licenses, and it gets away with it because it has different licenses. I mean, I'm sure it's going to do well. It's Legos and it's Harry Potter. it's going to do really well, especially around Christmas time. We already touched on Ultimate Marvel vs. Capcom 3. I'm not opening that can of worms.
Don't do it.
Here's an interesting one. Kinect Disneyland Adventures.
I don't own a Kinect. I have no interest in owning a Kinect. And I'm not a child. One more
question. No, I'm just playing.
But I don't think you need to be a child to like Disney World.
Children are going to get the most out of it.
Yeah, and I think children and family. I always think people always kind of forget that there's two groups here. Because it's going to be children and family. It's something that you can sit down and play with your son or daughter and stuff like that. And there needs to be more games like that. I mean, because as we see it, most people just kind of think of video games as you're either really young or you're our generation. But then there's that age where you just don't care about shooters anymore. You want stuff you can sit down and play with your kids or, you know, play with your friends around. And I think the Disneyland aspect of this game is kind of stupid. It's just like, oh, we can't afford to go to Disneyland. Here's a video game. But I think the minigame aspect is kind of cool.
Yeah, I think it's a posh dressing for a minigame compilation.
Yeah.
And you don't really need a posh dressing for a minigame compilation, as WarioWare sort of proves. It just needs to be attractive.
Yeah, but then look at something like Mario Party, which is pretty much a mini game dressed up as a board game. And that franchise sells extremely well.
Yeah.
I mean, and Disneyland aesthetics, like I said, it helps people, you know, especially this time of year where it's winter. Granted, it's not winter down there, but, you know, people can be like, you know, we can't go to Disneyland this time of year.
Let's do the best thing and pop this in our Xbox 360.
Yeah, and I could see some families doing that. Again, you know, you have to think about
that. They encourage people to go to Disneyland.
Yeah.
Heaven forbid.
It's pre-marketing for them or whatever, so. Here's one that I know Daniel's going to have, because, you know, he's just going to take it like a good boy. Halo Combat Evolved Remake.
I'm so excited for that fucking game. I don't know why, but it's like, it's bringing me back to Halo 1.
I'm going to confess something here.
I watched the video of them. They demoed 343 Guilty Spark the level, right? And he started it in classic mode. And I was like, that's the best way you can start the demo. And then he pressed the back button and it transferred into like this all shiny new visuals. And I squealed a little bit.
Yeah, right? Right?
I was like, oh my God. You made the ugliest level in the game look amazing.
That's what I was so impressed
with. I was going to say I was sold, but I was sold as soon as they announced it, so, you know.
Yeah, it's not good ourselves. You probably have Halo 4 pre-ordered already as well.
I haven't pre-ordered it, no, but I'm going to get it. I'm going to kill somebody to get it if I need to.
I'm excited.
As I've already put up on Nerds on the Rocks, this is how you do a remake. You don't just up-res the textures. You say, right, we're going to take this old game that's a classic. I call it a classic. I'm going to call it a classic because I'm biased. Anyway, you take this old game, you make it look like it was made today, and then you put extra stuff in there for the fans. That's how you do it.
Yeah.
One thing I would have added, and I know people probably wouldn't have been fans, is if they allowed you to have like a classic mode online or for multiplayer.
Well,
I guess they do.
They can't, no, they, well, they can't do that, but what they have done is there's an interesting little compromise. So they're gonna patch Halo Reach, and, cause the multiplayer is gonna be Halo Reach's multiplayer. They're gonna patch Halo Reach, so it can include a anniversary game type.
Oh my god, I just realized what you're talking about. That is gonna be awesome!
Yeah. And what happens in the anniversary game type is it changes the fire and damage, the fire rate and the damage, like the amount of damage the pistol does, so it sort of feels like the classic pistol. So you can headshot.
Oh my god.
If you shoot somebody in the head 3 times with it, they are going to die.
So the sniper rifle is useless again. Excellent.
No, it's only changing the pistol. But that's not for me.
I was gonna say, does this also remove like armor abilities?
It might do that. Yeah.
I feel like they're gonna change the pistol. I don't know. I feel like there's some stuff they still haven't showed us yet, so I'm really excited. I mean, especially for people that, you know, maybe are just getting an Xbox with a 360, which I think is a surprising amount of people, this is perfect, you know?
Well, we'll find out when I go to Eurogamer, because apparently it's going to be there, and I'm going to play the fucking shit out of it.
Well, I was just going to mention that there is a player in Halo Reach right now where you can go, and it's like Halo 2 multiplayer. Halo 3, I should say.
Oh.
You have no armor abilities, you know, like... you don't do an assassination. If you hit somebody in the back of the head, you kill them.
I need to play like that, because I prefer Halo 3.
It's kind of like, it's old school Halo maps and stuff like that. But it's, you know, it's dressed up in Forge mode, so it's not like actual aesthetics.
It's just
but it's
green
like,
and gray instead of...
Well, it's the layout of the stages as best as they can, because, you know, there's certain stuff that don't carry over to multiplayer. But, yeah, so yeah, I mean, as much as I harp on the franchise, I'm gonna get it anyhow. Just because it's one of the few games my friend will play, and it's like a $40 map pack. Saints Row the Third, or as Daniel calls it.
Okay, the best game ever made, and will be made. I don't care what Chad says.
and the second best game on Hulk Hogan.
Wait,
what,
we're talking about StarCraft now?
No, Saints Row.
Saints Row the Third. I already said I don't
care
what you say.
But you just said the best game that will. Oh, okay. Well, you confused me with that.
Can you get a big giant purple dildo bat in Saints and StarCraft 2? No, you don't.
Can you
beat Hulk Hogan to death with a blow up doll in StarCraft 2? I keep saying Saints Row 3 instead of StarCraft 2. You can't beat StarCraft 2 now, so...
Wait, how do you beat somebody to death in a field?
Exactly.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
That's how brilliant it is.
Okay, because I want to know the logic behind that, because...
Every weapon in that game, every weapon in Saints Row 3 has their own animation for hitting people in the nuts.
Again, how do you hit somebody in the nuts with a field doll?
Oh, see, well, that's the problem. I'm not 12 anymore.
I don't care if I'm not acting like I'm 12. It's going to be a funny game. The co-op's going to be fun. I don't care. It's a game that knows exactly what it's trying to be and is doing it as best it can.
It's personally why I prefer it over the Grand Theft Auto series, is because it doesn't mind having...
It may not look as good. It may be buggy as hell, but I don't care. And I'm going to see if I can get hold of that special edition with that headset that auto-tunes your voice, because that's going to be...
They're what? Now I'm intrigued.
You get a headset with the special edition. It's PC only, but I don't care. And it auto-tunes your voice, and you can turn it off and on.
That's badass.
I'll play TF2 and my voice auto-tuned. It's going to be brilliant.
So, yeah, I mean, we still got a few games to go through, and Adrian wants to get out of here soon. Assassin's Creed Revelations.
I'm so sick of Assassin's Creed at this point. I just don't care about Assassin's Creed anymore.
Brotherhood, to be honest.
Yeah, me neither.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Assassin's Creed franchise was fresh and new. I think, and this is, you know, just a call back to Call of Duty, I think the major difference between this is that when you have a story-driven game, it's just kind of tedious after a while, because especially, you know, like, the Assassin's Creed's on short games, they're like 20, 30 hours long, and... To just kind of, like, I know people who haven't been in Assassin's Creed 2 or who haven't been in Brotherhood, and just to kind of, like, oh, you know what, you're still behind, so we're just going to hop on another one. And then, you know, Ubisoft has all but hinted that this is pretty much a sequel or franchise at this point. So it's just like, you know what, at this point, it's like, I've never was a huge fan. The games are fantastic and they have awesome set pieces, but it's just like...
I know a lot of people that have ceased to care because they're just simply releasing them too often.
Yeah, and that's the thing, which you kind of get burnt out of a franchise. Comparing it to Call of Duty, where the main focus is on the multiplayer.
That's the reason why I can always get excited over a Pokemon game, because I have to wait a good few years for the next one, really. I mean, I know they release them sort of one every year, but, you know, the last... Yeah. It was 2002 that I played Pokemon Sapphire, and then in 2007, I think it was, is when Diamond and Pearl came out. So there was a good few years between them.
and then 2011 for Black and White.
Yeah.
So, but yeah. So yeah. Speaking of franchises that can go either way depending on your taste, The Legend of Zelda: Skyward Sword.
I'm gonna be totally upfront. I'm a little bit internally disappointed with myself that I never played Twilight Princess, and the only I know. The only experience I had with Twilight Princess was at a GameStop, and I tried using the Wii. That's when they were, you know, launched on the Wii first, and I was trying to aim at something with the Wiimote, and I said, fuck this game, and I just, like, just left the GameStop.
I never liked the Wii's controls. But
I liked the Wii's controls, except for the sword play, because it was pretty much just Waggle and he'll do stuff, but, you know, it wasn't a game kit centered on the Wii.
I never liked the Wii's controls, but for Twilight Princess, I thought they worked really well. Actually,
I think Sorry Princess kept it simple. I mean, it's pretty much just, you know, weight wagging for, but it wasn't like intense wagging like some other games. And aiming was, you know, aiming is still, I think, far superior on the Wiimote than it would have been on buttons. So yeah, Skywards, I mean, Zelda games are really hard to talk about, as I mentioned before. Like, this is why I don't necessarily think the Call of Duty fan base is the worst fan base out there. Just because Zelda fans want so much to change, but they want so much to stay the same.
They want everything to change, they want everything to stay the same at the same time.
Yeah.
Nintendo do something different and they don't like it, and they do something the same and they still don't like it.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like, you know, it's like, oh, Nintendo, you know, kind of peaked at Ocarina of Time. When technically speaking, for all intents and purposes, at least to me, Twilight Princess and Wind Waker are far superior games, both on a technical level and as far as gameplay goes, because it builds off of what Ocarina of Time does. And Twilight Princess is pretty much what people wanted. They wanted a more serious Zelda game using the Ocarina of Time
and
engine.
And then they announced it, and they were like, oh no, we don't want this, this is fucking awful. And the same thing with the Wind Waker, and I think that Skyward Sword is looking to be a very good compromise between, like, Wind Waker and, like, Twilight Princess.
Twilight Princess,
yeah.
And Ocarina of Time.
And they still don't like it.
It's really hard. I'm just gonna say I'm a huge, huge, huge fan of this game's art design.
I think it looks good. I don't think there has ever been a bad looking Zelda game. Even the cartoony ones have looked really good because
the cartoony ones look awesome. It's still one of my favorite. It's still one of my best looking games of all time.
Ocarina of Time looked better.
Ocarina of Time does not. Ocarina of Time does not look better to me.
Then what?
I think Twilight, then Wind Waker.
Oh, no, nothing looks better than Wind Waker. Wind Waker is timeless.
Yes, it is. It's kind of like Jet Set Radio Future.
Don't even compare it. Jet Set Radio Future was so boss. But yeah, Wind Waker was cool.
But Wind Waker's better.
Oh, yeah, it's better. I agree.
I think, and it's always, it's kind of funny because I don't want to harp on this too much, but that just, you know, that was kind of the era where I hung out in IGN forums and stuff. And just, like, people's idea that making something cel-shaded meant it was easier to design because it's, like, cartoony graphics. But it's actually, it's, like, twice as hard because you actually make, like, a full polygonal game and then you draw on top of it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's kind of one of those
Not only thing, that with cel-shaded, everything needs to stick out from everything else.
Yeah, and people don't. It's a really consistent art style, and it's one of those things I've always given Nintendo credit for is that they really know how to design really strong universes. They may stay on it way too long for some people's taste, but they really know how to design them, and it's one of those things I've had with Xenoblade. With Xenoblade, it's probably one of the most gorgeous, ugly games I've ever seen in my life. It's the design of that game in the world. It exists in is so gorgeous, but for the life of me, it's one of the few Wii games I'm just thinking, I wish this was an HD. I wish this was an HD. Just for that crispness, that would have really cemented the game as a really great game. But yeah, Skyward Sword, it's out in like 2 months, and Nintendo's already been hum-hum about it, and it's one of their things.
I don't think, but Nintendo don't tend to make a big deal out of games that often.
No,
so I remember Mario Galaxy, like, all of a sudden it was just out, and it was like, oh, okay.
And I think it works in their favor sometimes because, you know, especially...
They don't need to make a big deal.
I mean, it makes no sense to kind of start promoting it anytime. You know, I said this when we talked about Bioshock Infinite when it was really announced last year, is that 2 years of hype can really backfire against you because the people, you have to kind of keep that hype going, so you have to keep on revealing more and more stuff, and then after a while it's just like, I've seen too much of this game.
Yeah.
Where, like, you know, I think, you know, like with Nintendo, it kind of works because you don't get spoiled with a lot of stuff because they don't show a lot of stuff. But at the same hand, it's like they really need to start kind of pumping this into gear that's saying Zelda's coming out in 2 months. So, yeah, to get people... I mean, granted, they've done that with the announcement of the Collector's Edition and the concerts and stuff like that, but that's more of the Zelda 25th anniversary thing than just a Skyward Sword specific thing. But yeah, let's move on because we have like 4 games to go. Sonic Generations. I know Chad's going to get this.
Fucking right. I am helpless to not buy a new Sonic game.
I was going to say, I am the same way. I will buy this as well. I don't know what I'm going to buy it for yet. I might get one of the HD versions and get the 3DS game as well. We shall see.
From what I've played of it so far, it's pretty good. But then the amount I've played of Generations is the same amount that I've played of Unleashed, and I had the same thing to say about Unleashed, and then because they left the bad out of the demo.
Well, I was gonna say that I'm happy if the 3D segments are using the Sonic Colors engine, I'm extremely happy for that. As long as the 2D segments don't use the Sonic 4 engine, I'm happy with that.
And I think it doesn't.
It doesn't. There was a demo out this, it was a really odd demo for 20 days.
It was a long time ago. It was months ago that the demo came out.
Yeah, it was July.
Yeah.
That's 2 months ago. It's not that long.
Well, it was still a long time ago for a game that's coming out in November, so it's still 2 months.
I'm assuming, I hope, that they have an actual official demo, because that was more of like a Sonic 25th anniversary, well, 20th anniversary thing. So yeah, I'm excited for it. I have three.
I know somebody who's a long-time Sonic fan, and they went to some Sonic convention in London, and they played the 3D section, and they said it was pretty good, and they were really disappointed with 4 and what was it, Unleashed. So, you know, there is hope for you Sonic fans out there.
You Sonic fans out there, you make us hypothetic people.
No,
yeah, this, no matter what, this will be one of the best Sonic games I've played in a while.
Oh, that's not really saying anything. There really hasn't been that much to be excited about for Sonic for the past 10 years.
I think, it's got to be better than 2006 and better than Shadow the Hedgehog, so.
I think getting Pokemon.
Impossible!
Hot Stick would have been better than those two games. WWE 12, the WWE game from THQ.
WWF SmackDown 2 is the only wrestling game for me.
I will point out that I have a wrestling game on my top 5 games of all time. It's kind of iffy.
Was that All Stars?
No, it was WWF WrestleMania 2000 on Nintendo 64.
Alright.
And being, you know, at the peak of the wrestling franchise, gaming was about a decade ago.
Yeah.
It's in the same as Sonic, I guess. Now here's the game I hinted at before, and probably the second best selling game of the year, or will end up being the second best selling game of the year, if not the best selling game of the year. Mario Kart 7.
I can't resist a Mario Kart game.
And if nobody
I'm going to get 3DS probably the end of this year, so I'll pick that up with Super Mario 3D Land.
You see, and this is, you know, people harp on the fact that Mario Kart games don't change that much, and I don't necessarily agree with that, because I think for a racing game, the most important thing is the track design.
Yes, the tracks are always good, and they always change the tracks actually quite a lot between the games.
Yeah, and the other thing I was going to say is that...
And it's Mario Kart.
I was going to say, the reason that Mario Kart doesn't get harped on as much is this is the 7th Mario Kart in 19 years.
Yeah.
That's really not even
Well, that's only because they released one a platform.
Yeah, and that's why it's never kind of become tedious. It's that they make an event. It's a Mario Kart. This is the only one we're going to get for the 3DS, most likely.
And it's the same thing with Pokemon. It may not change a whole lot, but it's one a platform, so you can't really argue.
But the DS had two.
Well, Pokemon games... Yeah, this was the DS was a bit different, but.
So Mario Kart 7, like I said, I don't know why they decided to number it at this point.
Because of the 3D.
But
if you're going to have a horrible naming scheme from the beginning with 64, at least carry it on.
Yeah, they should have just went with Mario. I mean, all the Mario Karts have been named after this system of choice except for Double Dash and Super Circuit, I guess. Because it's Super Mario Kart, it's Mario Kart 64, it's Mario Kart DS, and it's Mario Kart Wii. 4 out of 6 have used the console's name. You might as well have just called it Mario Kart 3DS. The only thing I've noticed is that people said that they wanted to make the Yoko more like the Grand Prix Yoko with the 7. So yeah, that's about it. Yeah, and this is, you know, this is Nintendo's great white hope for the holiday season.
And it'll work, because I'll end up buying a 3DS and buying that, so, you know, I want the red, I'm going to make sure I get the red one.
Oh yeah, I forgot that came out this week. So yeah, I mean, it's, you know, Mario Kart, it's, you know, it's going to have the, it probably has the long tail. I mean, as much as Call of Duty kind of gets it, people forget that Mario Kart is actually the highest selling franchise of this generation. Because I think Mario Kart DS and Mario Kart Wii are both over 25 million units sold.
Jesus.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
And the reason for that is that Nintendo doesn't come out with Mario Karts every year, so it doesn't cut off its eggs.
Yeah.
So when you buy a DS for your child, you get
you can
Mario
release,
Kart.
Well, they're going to release Mario Kart 7 at the beginning of the 3DS's life, really. And it's going to continue to sell as long as the 3DS will be out.
Yeah. And that's kind of, you know, that's what Nintendo calls the evergreen titles, which I think more, you know, more console, not, but more developers need to have, but they're all kind of, you know, like people want that short game profit instead of the long-term game. So that, you know, you kind of release a new game every 2 years or so in the franchise.
Yeah.
And it's to be expected. And finally, we have Shinobi, which I think actually looks like a really interesting game. This studio has a decent reputation, but it looks like it's going to be fun. I kind of want to see more of it, and I'm also kind of sucking up because I think we have an interview with one of the developers soon. So yeah, it is that. So I think that's it. I mean, is there any other games you folks want to talk about?
We've already spoken about the greatest game ever made, so you know.
Well, okay. I was going to get to that afterwards, but we all kind of hinted at it, but what is everybody's most anticipated game of this fall?
This is the problem, and as of recently, because I've had a lot less money than I usually do, I've had to cherry pick games I'm going to buy, let alone games I'm going to get excited about. So it's a toss between Saints Row the Third and Halo CE.
Okay. And it sucks that you don't get the type of deals we do, because, like, I mean, Newegg was offering Arkham City last night for $48 with a free t-shirt.
I know. And I've still got to pick up things like Deus Ex and
Gears.
Yeah,
you can just wait, because Deus Ex is only $35 this week on Toys R Us, at Toys R Us and Amazon.com, because I want to do free products for Amazon because they need money. What about you, Adrian?
It's a tough one. I mean, I could give you, like, out of this list, if I had a PS3, I'd definitely be stoked for Uncharted 3, but I'm going to have to say that I'm stoked for Skyrim, Battlefield 3, and Ultimate. Those are my three anticipated most, so. Oh, no, wait, sure. I don't know. The whole thing, that's a hard one. I can say Gears, I'm definitely going to get Gears 3, I'm going to get Rage eventually, Ultimate, and then there's just so many good games coming out. Skyrim.
But if you had to pick one,
If I had to pick one game, I'd probably pick Gears of War 3.
Okay. Chad, there's no StarCraft 2 expansion, so what is your most...
I know. That's early 2012. I'm pissed about it. Let's see here. Skyrim's always obviously a contender. Okay. I think I'll probably end up putting the most time into that out of anything that comes out this fall, because Uncharted I'll probably just play through once. I've never really been into the multiplayer. Gears of War 3 I was incredibly stoked about until my 360 decided to fuck off and be a dick. So, yeah, I'll say Skyrim.
Isn't that hard? It's a hard decision to make.
I really want to get Rage, just because it's going to look so sexy.
It is going to look sexy.
I was actually kind of curious. I assumed you would have said, what is that game? Persona. Persona 2.
Persona 2?
Is that not coming out for PSP this year?
Yeah, but yeah, I was never really into the pre-3 ones.
Okay.
Persona 3 is kind of where it starts for me.
as for me, since apparently everybody else is getting this more than one, I am going to go with Batman Arkham City, Uncharted 3, and Super Mario 3D.
God damn it, I forgot about Arkham City.
And if I, even though we just talked about it being on and if I had to pick one that I'm most anticipated for right now, I would go with Uncharted 3. I have my hang-ups with Batman Arkham City, which I mentioned last week, and I have my hang-ups with Super Mario Land.
Mainly because it's based on the gameplay of Batman, the original one, Arkham Asylum, which was not very good. There, I said it.
You shut your mouth. You shut your mouth.
I did not enjoy that game. I'm sorry.
Shut your mouth.
There's one thing that I think is worth mentioning right now, and that's Civilization 5 is $12.50 on Steam until tomorrow, or until Monday at 10 a.m., but no one's going to hear this by that time. Yeah, I just realized.
Exactly.
I heard it.
But it's
for you guys.
I didn't know about this.
Yeah,
this is news to me.
I bought it.
Is there any other deals you want to shop around since you're apparently promoting everybody else?
Oh, be sure to pre-order Gears of War 3 on Amazon. You get $20 promotional credit. Please do that.
Yes, and Uncharted 3 comes with $10 promotional
yep,
credit.
Yeah, do it. There's no reason not to buy that.
We don't get that sort of stuff over here.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. If you're American and not Canadian or European.
Oh, fuck. Never mind. I lied. That's not... None of those are what I'm most anticipating. Well, Metal Gear Solid HD Collection. There.
Really?
Oh.
Yeah.
You don't know Chad.
You don't know Chad.
He has the oddest taste in games. His most anticipated game last year was... I think it was either Naruto or One Piece game. So.
Was it not Catherine?
No, Catherine was this year.
Oh, yeah.
Which... It is the game of the year fucking of this year.
Well, I mean,
so when we do that podcast, I will filibuster the shit out of all of you until you just break.
It's alright though, say that now, chat. Saints Row 3 hasn't come out yet. It's alright.
I was gonna say, and we'll end on this, you know, since we're talking about the fall, we've had 8 months of the year. What is your current contender for game of the year, I guess? Because I'm assuming it's gonna change in the next 3 months.
Does it have to be a game we've played?
This year?
Yeah.
Usually a game of the year contender should be something you play, yes.
Because I haven't played a lot this year, to be honest. It would have to be Portal 2 for me.
Okay. Adrian?
Best game I played this year?
Yeah. Marvel vs.
Capcom.
Oh, definitely. That's the game I've definitely spent the most time with. I was pleasantly surprised by Deus Ex Human Revolution, though. Those are my two favorites right now.
Okay. Well, we already know Chad.
StarCraft for the second year running.
And Catherine.
You know it, man. Catherine was so sick.
And it kind of sucks because I know my Game of the Year contender so far would have no play just because of how it's been released. But right now I have to really give it to Xenoblade.
That doesn't count. That wasn't a release in America. Doesn't count.
It was released this year, and
it wasn't released in America. Doesn't count.
That's not how it goes.
You got it. You got it through means that you shouldn't have, right?
Important counts as a means.
You still shouldn't have done it because you shouldn't have been playing, right? So that doesn't count.
Why did it count? It's a game I played this year that came out this year.
No.
No.
Put foot down on this one.
Well, you know what? Since I get to make the rules, I'm going to say it counts. My vote counts more.
Well, you see, when I run my podcast, you won't get away with that shit.
But like I said, I'm assuming for everybody, well, for most people, I don't know about Chad, it's going to change in the next 3 months or so because there's 100 big games coming out in. Usually this is kind of, I mean, actually was, I think, the oddball year where a lot of people Game of the Year contenders were released in the first 6 months. I think all of ours was, except for Chad's, which was released in the 7th month.
It's only because I haven't played anything else that was...
No, last year my Game of the Year was StarCraft, so that was... Wait, it was 7 months. Fuck. My math's not good.
Yeah, no, I'm talking about last year, because a lot of people's Game of the Year contenders were Dead Redemption, which is May, Mass Effect 2, which was January, Super Mario Galaxy, which was May. And those were kind of the big four. You didn't really have anything in November that was kind of, you know, Game of the Year contender material, I guess. But yeah, now we're just rambling. So for Daniel, Adrian, Chad, myself, Jason, Anthony, and I guess that's everybody who's been on these last two episodes. Thank you for listening to us talk about the great games of this year. I hope you all have fun buying them and playing them. And we'll be covering them as much as possible. We have reviews set up for some of them already. And
we've got my Eurogamer impressions coming in 2 weeks.
Yes, and I'm sure I'll get some stuff when I go to New York Comic Con. And wow, it's like 4 weeks from now. So yeah, thank you for checking us out. And as always, happy gaming.
I'll feed this easy.
Go fuck yourself, internet.